PvP, new world bosses, why do I care about layering anyways, and some gold making tips. Your classic Phase 2 survival guide starts now. What's up everybody, Ronald here. Welcome to your Classic WoW Phase 2 survival guide. We'll get into the PvP honor system and the rank system, world bosses, removing layering and what that really means, and some gold making tips. But first, please take a moment, leave a quick 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. This really helps us rank up and reach more people with our goal to build an awesome community of like-minded gamers. Join us in Classic WoW on the Thunder Fury US Horde side. The Rested XP Guild is always looking for new members. PvP changes in the honor system. So first of all, you're going to see a new tab once this goes live in your character screen. When you hit C, you're going to see an honor tab. You're going to notice that on the tab, you're going to have a ranking system on the top, and it's going to keep track of all of your PvP kills and all of your PvP interactions. There's a lot of different changes that are going to come with this. The first thing is that honor is going to be tracked, and every time you kill somebody, you're going to get honor if their level is green to you. Now, what this really means is that you can't go around at level 60 and killing a level 20 other than just griefing someone, which is totally allowed in the game, but it's not going to get you anywhere as far as progression goes. There's going to be 14 rank levels that you can work through. Each rank level has its own rewards. And with those rewards, you get stronger, or you get a benefit to buying more pieces of gear or anything like that. Now, it's important to note before we get into the rewards and what the rank levels are, there is no specific PvP stat in Classic WoW like there is in Retail WoW, or like there has been in different expansions in Retail WoW. Like, for example, Resilience. Nothing like that exists in Classic WoW. And all of the gear that you get around PvP and that you earn for PvP in Classic WoW is specifically tailored around offensive spells. So if you're a healer, you're kind of out of luck. Every time you get a different piece, 6-piece set, it's going to be tailored around whatever the offensive capabilities are of that particular class. It's not spec-based. Something to keep in mind as you're grinding out different sets. Now, because there is no specific PvP talent, it means that you don't necessarily need PvP gear to be effective at PvP in Classic WoW. So for example, there is some PvE gear that will be just fine for PvPing. As a matter of fact, some of the raid gear is stronger than the PvP gear. And so keep that in mind, as the gear that you get from PvPing specifically has set bonuses, which can be very impactful and helpful, but you're not totally going to be out of luck if you don't end up getting some of that gear, or if you're using raid gear that has other set bonuses. Let's go over the reward ranks. So at rank 2, this is very important and very easy to get. This is just maybe an hour or two of PvPing. At rank 2, you get your PvP trinket, and this allows you to break a stun. And this is almost a necessity for anybody, even if you're just going to be a casual PvPer. This is very, very important to get. At rank 3, you get a 10% vendor reduction. So when you go to buy something, everything is 10% cheaper, and this makes a huge difference over time as currency ends up being a very tough thing to get. At rank 7, which is getting a little bit more serious, and it's a commitment. I'll be honest, it's a commitment to get to rank 7. You get a 2-piece blue set. At rank 8, you get your 4-piece blue set. And at that point, at the 4-piece, you're really starting to feel the advantages of having some PvP gear. And if you've grinded out to rank 8, which is probably where the majority of the player base is going to end up, you're going to be able to keep up, but you're definitely going to get run over by people grinding all the way to the top. At rank 9, you get your battle standard, and at rank 10, you get your first 6-piece blue set. So this is the point at which you cross a threshold of being quite a bit more powerful than everyone else around you. With a 6-piece blue set, you're going to be able to have all of the different blue combinations of abilities that come from the set bonuses, and it's going to make a huge difference in your ability to PvP. At rank 11, you get your epic PvP mount, and this is really a large prestige moment for anybody who plays Classic WoW. The epic PvP mount is something that everyone knows what it is, because when you ride around on it in the open world, people are going to know that you've ground out and put in the time to get that. And something to strongly consider trying to achieve, because it is a prestige thing. And Classic WoW is a lot about prestige and seeing something that you want to work towards that someone else has. And so I think the epic PvP mount is something that definitely is worth getting. Rank 12, you get your three-piece epic PvP set, and this is where you really start to get some very powerful things. At rank 13, you get six-piece epic PvP set. This is very, very difficult to get to, and honestly, not very many people are going to get here. And of course, at rank 14, which is going to be just the most elite of elite people, you start to get the PvP weapons. And this is very much going to be something that you're going to try to get to, but most people are not going to get there. They're just not going to have the time to put in to get there. PvP changes in the open world are going to change the way that the game flows. Now, the Giribashi Arena event in Stranglethorn Vale exists today. And because of that, most people have at least seen it or been around to see the PvP that happens when people are battling for the chest that gets dropped there. What's going to happen now that the honor system is in place is that when this event happens, it's going to be free-for-all and a brawl, and there's going to be many, many more people participating. And it's going to decrease the odds of an individual person actually being able to get it, the chest that is, from the event. Now, questing in the open world is going to change greatly. It's going to happen on both sides. There is no one side that is better than the other or more honorable than the other. Both sides do this, and it really makes questing in these zones, for example, in Stranglethorn Vale when you're in your 40s, it makes questing in these zones very, very difficult, and something to consider that you're probably not going to realistically be able to quest in Stranglethorn Vale once the PvP honor system is put into place. Now, in Un'Goro Crater, it's a totally different scenario. This is mostly almost a max level zone in your mid to upper 50s. And because of this, you're going to have mobs that are, you know, in that 55 to 58 range. But there are some materials that drop from mobs that are in Un'Goro Crater, specifically Devil Sour Leather and some endgame mats that you're going to see farming groups, raid groups form to farm these materials. And while they're farming these materials, they're going to be PvPing. What's going to end up happening is if you're trying to level in this zone, you're going to end up being collateral damage. So it might be something to really consider before you end up wanting to go there. It just could increase the amount of time it takes to get through that. So you may want to consider some other zones, different parts of the game to level from that 55 to 60 range. Hillsbred Foothills is, of course, the home of the iconic Torrin Mill versus South Shore. This is where world PvP really got its form. There is going to be a lot of PvP going on here, and if you're a Horde player, you level here in your low 20s, I would suggest just avoiding it because you are going to just get run over. You probably are not specifically going to be targeted, you're just going to be collateral damage for the many, many, many number of max level players fighting back and forth for control of this area. I would avoid leveling there if you can. Now, something to keep in mind, too, as you look around the rest of the world, I've got a couple of honorable mentions. Searing Gorge, where Thorium Point is, that's going to be a huge PvP area because that's the landing zone to get to BRD and all the dungeons that start there. So expect that just to be a slaughter fest on both sides. The Blasted Lands, where Lord Kazak is, and we'll talk about him in a minute. I expect that to be a pretty hot PvP area. Fellwood is always pretty hot for PvP because of farming Timbermaw rep, and expect to see lots of players there competing for lots of mobs, and when people get bored, they just start farming. And of course, Tanneris as well has always been a hotbed for PvP out in the open desert. And keep in mind that around the world, you're going to see a lot of different flight points are just going to be camped. So you're going to land somewhere and unexpectedly just die, and the flight master is going to be dead, so you're going to have to corpse res yourself out of the area. And this is just going to be part of the game. It was part of the game back in Vanilla WoW, and it will be part of the game in Classic WoW. And you just have to deal with it. And sometimes you can't quest where you want to quest. You just have to move on. But keep in mind that when you get to max level and you can start PvPing, what goes around comes around, and that's the fun part about world PvP. So just keep in mind, a lot of flight points around the world are going to end up being camped, especially those in the 40 to 50 range. Because honor counts as long as the person that you're killing is green to you. Meaning that if you're a level 60 and there have to be 11 levels below you, so a level 49 and up will count for honor. And that means that leveling in the 50s is going to get a whole lot harder, or at least more interesting, if you're not in a party coming up here soon. World bosses. Lord Kazak and Azergos. Azergos is located in Ashara. It's a 40-man raid to kill Azergos. There are some great guides on WoWhead has put up on how the strategy to kill Azergos should go. However, I'd just like to say that world PvP will come into play with killing world bosses, and only one raid that can get the tag, which means only one raid gets the loot. Now, you can have 200-300 different players there all competing for the loot, but only one of those 40-man raids is going to get the actual loot, whoever ends up with the tag. And this, back in the day, led to many, many, many open-world PvP scenarios that were pretty epic. And it will again, because Azergoss and Lord Kazakh drop very, very good loot. For example, the Typhoon Sword here, which is dropped by Azergoss, is something that all melee classes are going to be very excited about. And it's going to be something that people are going to want. So you're going to see lots of 40-man raids go after Azergoss, and you're going to see lots of PvP happen because only one of those raids can get the loot. Azergoss is located in Ashara. He kind of pats around. He's a big blue dragon. You can't really miss him. And if you do want to go to Ashara and take a look, I suggest the model is pretty cool for Azergoss. And I would just not engage him, because if you're just by yourself, you're going to be all kinds of dead. Now, Lord Kazakh is in the Blasted Lands, and he walks around, and he's a 40-man raid as well. He drops some pretty important warlock gear. He also drops a staff that's pretty important, called the Ambercell Keeper. And again, 40-man raid, only one raid group can get the tag, so you're going to see the same amount of world play revolving around Lord Kazakh. Lord Kazakh also has a little bit of WoW nostalgia attached to him, in that he was kited into Stormwind and wrecked Stormwind. This was something that I believe got some players banned back in the day, but produced a few epic YouTube videos, and something that just kind of lives in WoW's history as something fun that you can do in an open sandbox world. So I would suggest trying to hit up a group, try to farm Lord Kazakh. You definitely are going to get some good loot, and it's just fun to do with a world boss. So let's talk about layering. So layering is a very interesting thing. I want to talk about this from the perspective of, just real quick, to remind people who may not know what layering is. Layering is something that was introduced at launch to help control the population. Now, layering is not something that was in the original game, and it's something that can be exploited. So I'm going to explain this, break this down just for a second here. Layering is the ability for hundreds and hundreds of players to be in the same place at once and not experience a bunch of lag. And Blizzard's whole goal with this was they knew that the launch of Classic WoW was going to be popular, and they did not in any way want the launch to go like the original launch of the game went, when the game would crash and all that stuff. So they implemented layering, and layering was great. It helped the launch go smooth. And now, as individual realms have been pulled back from layering, what you're going to notice is there's going to be more and more people that you see. Now, why was it being exploited, and how? If you notice, some of the big streamers out there, they will have people invite them to different groups so that they get popped between different layers. And what it allows them to do is to kill the same mob over and over and over again. And this is never the way the game was intended to be played. Now, it's not a bannable exploit, but it's still an exploit. The game was originally intended to be played that you competed over a mob that you wanted. In that competition, whoever won, won. And if you lost, you had to try again next time. So with layering being removed, it's going to change some dynamics of being on those realms where people were hopping between layers to try to get mobs. Now, the majority of layering has already been removed, which means if you're watching this and you're not on one of the super high population realms, this has probably already been removed, and you may not even know that it has been removed or that it was even there in the first place. Now, on Thunder Fury US, where the rest of the XP guild plays, it's already been removed, and we don't have to worry about it at this point. What can you expect on the realms where it hasn't been removed? You're definitely going to start seeing a lot more people. Your capital cities are going to be all of a sudden a lot fuller, because everybody on that server is going to be in the same layer or at the same time. And so you're going to see a lot more people. You're going to have a lot more competition for world resources, like mobs and nodes and things like that. When you run after that mining node, and there's two other people there, it's going to be a world PvP event, because you want that mining node, they want that mining node, and they're going to have the ability to fight over it and see who gets it. So you're going to see a lot more competition over mobs and nodes and tagging. And speaking of tagging, we have an entire episode dedicated to tagging and how it's affected WoW's progression. I highly suggest you go check it out. It may lead to possible lag in large population areas. So in those world PvP situations, or in those areas in capital cities where there's lots of people. We'll see what happens. I'm hopeful that it doesn't, but it might. You may ask, how can I tell if I'm on a layered server today? What you can do is you can go into the launcher, find your server on the list, and if you sort by population, you'll see high, medium, low, and then you'll see a special category called layered in blue. If you are on a server that is layered in that blue, then you know you're on a layered server, and you know to expect when the layering comes off, you're going to expect a different gaming experience. I'd like to finish up the guide with some gold-making tips. There's some important things that are going to come along. There are materials that are going to become more important as World PvP becomes more prevalent in the game. WoW's World PvP in Classic was highly dependent upon using potions and using other things like trinkets and stuff like that that are single on use or perhaps repeatable use, but different things that are outside of your normal spellbook to win a World PvP encounter. For example, the limited invulnerability potion makes you immune to physical attacks for 6 seconds. Great for a caster, great for anybody who's being attacked and stunned, especially if you're going to get ganked by a rogue. The free action potion makes you immune to stun and movement impairing effects for the next 30 seconds, but it doesn't remove an effect. So if you can see someone's coming towards you, you pop one of those. Someone's going to try to stun you, like a rogue's going to try to sap you, a warrior's going to try to charge you, a mage is going to try to slow you, and that is not going to work because you have the benefit of this effect. A restorative potion removes a magic curse, a poison, disease on you every 5 seconds for 30 seconds, and this is a huge deal. If you get dotted up by a warlock or a shadow priest or something, you can pop one of these and pull off those damage dealing effects and have a better chance of winning. The people that make these, if you're an alchemist or whatever you do to supply these in the auction house, you have to go out and you either have to farm the materials or you have to buy the materials in the auction house. That means that herbalism, fishing, skinning, and mining, all these things are going to become more valuable, which is great for everybody because a happy and thriving economy on the WoW auction house is how many people afford to get their mounts and how they can buy, you know, different pieces of gear, whatever. The auction house is a critical part of the game, and with the introduction of the demand for different things that professions make, the material prices are going to go up. I suggest that you, if you're an herbalist, you go out and farm goldthorn and strangle kelp and possibly swift thistle if you're a rogue. Those are going to be in high demand once this hits. If you have leveled fishing, go out and farm blackmouth oil. That's going to be in high demand. And if you're into skinning and mining, the different ores and the different materials that you end up getting from out in the world from doing PvE, you're going to be selling to crafters who are going to be crafting high-end stuff. So go out and get those Devil Sword leathers in your groups, or go out and get those high-end thorium nodes, because all of those materials are going to be used to craft gear that's going to be needed by all of the different specs that use those types of gear at the end game. Anything that's gathering right now, I'm going to say is going to be a good spot to make some money. Well, that's about it. You can connect with me, Ronald, on Twitter, @RonaldGaming, or in Discord. The link will be in the show notes. Also, be sure to check out our main YouTube channel at youtube.com/XPMediaNow, all one word. And lastly, leave us a comment to let us know what you liked or disliked about this video. Thanks for checking out our guide, and good luck in Phase 2.